Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study from Rolling Springs Baptist Church. And today we'll be studying chapters 11 and 12 in the book of Daniel. And it'll be our lesson 8 for those that have been following through. So before we get started, we want to have prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for who you are, Father. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we ask you, Father, as we continue our study in the book of Daniel, give us the knowledge and wisdom to understand your truths, Father, that we may see your great plan. Even back in the time of Daniel, you gave him wisdom and knowledge, and you had him write it down. So teach us today through your Holy Spirit, Father, that we may just proclaim your word and live it out to glorify you. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Now, looking at where we are in our study, we have to review, really, to get into chapters 11 and 12 that we'll be looking at today. We just need to take a glimpse of chapter 10 of Daniel. The first verse in chapter 10 gives the setting for the message, for the word of great conflict that Daniel received through this message, which took place in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Now, when you look at verse 14 of chapter 10, this verse is a message. It's what will happen to Daniel's people, Israel, the Jews, in the latter days, literally in the end of the days. So, what other information has Daniel already had about Israel's future at that point in his life? When we review all of that chapter, chapter 10, and some of the previous chapters, we see that he, Daniel, knew of four earthly kingdoms to rule over Israel before God's final kingdom. And he knew that the king, at the end, will overcome the saints for a time, times, and a half time. That's, we learned, was 3.5 years before they received the final kingdom, which will be God's kingdom. So, looking now at the message that is in chapter 10 through chapter 12, we learn that Daniel was approached by a certain man dressed in linen, and that was in Daniel chapter 5. Now, in Daniel 12, verses 5 through 7, there'll be two others with the man dressed in linen. And in chapter 10, verses 16 through 18, we learned that there was one who resembled a human being touched Daniel to strengthen him. So, either way, one of them gave the interpretation to Daniel. So, chapters 11 and 12 continue chapter 10 of Daniel. Although Daniel 10 speaks of spiritual forces behind earthly empires. Chapters 11 and 12 speak of earthly rulers and events. So let's look now at some verses in chapter 11. First of all, looking at verse 1. Here we see, and I'll read this verse, that in the first year of Darius the Mede, I, Daniel, rose to be an encouragement and a protection for him. And I will tell you the truth. Behold, 3 more kings are going to arise in Persia, and then a 4th will gain far more riches than all of them. So here, this was not speaking about Daniel. Daniel was not doing the speaking here. It was the angel that gave him understanding of the message and of the great conflict that was going to take place for his people. Now, if you look back at chapter 10, verse 20 and 21, this in these verses expand on what began in 10:20. Persia was the ruling empire over Daniel's people at that time. But Greece was about to come in and take control. So in the first year of Darius the Mede, the one giving the understanding to Daniel, arose to be an encouragement and protection to Michael. And literally verse 1 says that the angelic beings standing up was for a strengthening for him, Michael. And this is the same technology or terminology in chapter 10:21, that Michael stands firmly. It shows that he's strong and with him against the spiritual powers of Persia. Now, as we look at this, we want to see the overall theme of Daniel and that it relates to all of this. The theme of Daniel relates to all that we are studying in chapter 10, 11, and 12. We learn that God is Most High and the ruler over all. So throughout the study, we're looking at the sovereignty of God. So let's look at chapter 11, verse 2. And now I will tell you the truth. Behold, 3 more kings are going to arise in Persia. Then a 4th will gain far more riches than all of them. As soon as he becomes strong through his riches, he will arouse the whole empire against the realm of Greece. So there would be 4 Persian rulers that would come forth, and with the last one greater than the first 3. So in the book of Esther, her husband, Ahasuerus Xerxes, attacked Greece with an army of hundreds and thousands and was defeated. So now we see that Daniel is an old man, and in chapter 6:28 says that he enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and Cyrus. So he probably didn't live into the reign of this subsequent Persian kings. Now, looking at verses 3 and 4, "And a mighty king will arise, and he will rule with great authority and do as he pleases. But as soon as he has risen, his kingdom will be broken up and partialed out toward the four points of the compass, though not to his own descendants, nor according to his authority, which he wielded, for his sovereignty will be uprooted and given to others besides him." So, in these verses 3 and 4, we learn that Alexander the Great was a mighty king, and his kingdom was broken up and partialed out, but not to his descendants. So Alexander's only son was killed at an early age, and four of his generals eventually won control after 20 years of conflict. So we are learning now that these kingdoms, this is about Greece and the Grecian rule. And each one of these, that was in Daniel's goat symbolized Greece, and the horn between his eyes was Alexander. And then Greece came from the west with great speed to conquer Persia. So when Greece became mighty, the horn was broken off. Alexander died, and four other horns, the four generals, came up in his place. So now, who the kings of the south and the north, beginning in verse 5. Let's look at verse 5. "The king of the south will grow strong along with one of his princesses, who will gain ascendancy over him and obtain dominion. His dominion will be a great dominion indeed." So when we're looking at this verse, the south was the Ptolemies of Egypt, and the kings of the north were the Seleucid kings of Syria. So the south kings was Egypt, and the north kings represented Syria. So the land of Daniel's people was in between Egypt and Syria. So Israel then was under the domain of the Ptolemies until Antiochus III the Great came into ruling the kingdom. Now, let's skip down to verses 21. We're looking at a despicable person, the king of the north. That's in verses 21 through 35. So I will read these verses. "Then, in his place, a despicable person will arise on whom the honor of kingship has not been conferred, but he will come in a time of tranquility and seize the kingdom by intrigue. The overflowing forces will be flooded away before him and shattered, and also the prince of the covenant. And after an alliance is made with him, he will practice deception, and he will go up and gain power with a small force of people. In a time of tranquility, he will enter the richest parts of the realm, and he will accomplish what his fathers never did, nor his ancestors, and he will distribute and plunder booty and possessions among them, and he will devise his schemes against strongholds, but only for a time. Now, I'm going to rush kind of through this because this covers a lot. And verse 25 says, he will stir up his strength and courage against the king of the south with a large army. So the king of the south, which represents Egypt, will mobilize an extremely large and mighty army for war, but he will not stand, for schemes will be devised against him. Those who eat his choice food will destroy him, and his army will overflow, but many will fall down slain. As for both kings, their hearts will be intent on evil, and they will speak lies to each other at the same table, but it will not succeed, for the end is still to come at the appointed time. Then he will return to his land with much plunder, but his heart will be set against the holy covenant, and he will take action and then return to his own land. Now, in verse 22, the prince of the covenant may be in reference to one called Onias, who was a high priest of Israel. He was murdered on Antiochus' orders. And then in verse 27, it describes a time when Antiochus and the king of Egypt spoke lies to each other. They made an alliance, but Antiochus was fulfilling prophecy. All of this had been prophesied. And in verse 28, Antiochus's heart was set against the holy covenant, the people of Israel. And at the appointed time, he took action against Israel according to Daniel's prophecy. Now remember, this is all Daniel, he is prophesying this because he had been given this vision by the angel. So you have to keep that in mind as we go through this study. We know that he then set up abomination of desolation in the sanctuary. This was Antiochus. And that sanctuary at that time, it had an idol of Zeus that he placed in the Holy of Holies. And then he turned many Jews away from the truth. But those that stayed firm in their faith to the God of Egypt, says those with insight gave understanding to those who didn't turn away. So tens of thousands of Jews perished in Israel during the Maccabean revolt. Excuse me, that's when they revolted against Antiochus. Now let's look at verse 36 through 45 and see what these verses are telling us. Verse 35, some of those who have insight will fall in order to refine, purge, and make them pure until the end time, because it is still to come at the appointed time. And then the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods, and he will prosper until The indignation is finished. That's the wrath that's to come on him at that time. For that which is decreed will be done, and he will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the desire of women, nor will he show regard for any other god, for he will magnify himself above them all. But instead he will honor a god of fortresses, a god whom his fathers will not know, and he will honor him with gold, silver, costly stones, and treasures. And he will take action against the strongest of fortresses with the help of foreign god. And he will give great honor to those who acknowledge him, and will cause them to rule over the many, and will parcel out land for a price. At the end time, the king of the south, which is Egypt, will collide with him, and the king of the north, Syria, will storm against him with chariots, with horsemen, with ships, and he will enter countries, overflow them, and pass through. And he will also enter the beautiful land, which represents Jerusalem, and many countries will fall, but these will be rescued out of his hand: Edom, Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon. And then he will stretch out his hand against other countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape, but he will gain control over the hidden treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and Libyans and Ethiopians will follow at his heels. But rumors from the east and from the north will disturb him, and he will go forth with great wrath and destroy and annihilate many. And he will pitch the tents of his royal pavilion between the seas and the beautiful holy mountain, between the seas and Jerusalem. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him. Now quickly, let's just kind of see what these verses 36 through 45 relates to at the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. He foreshadows the king of the end times, the evil one who will attack Israel with fury. So what he is a foreshadow of the Antichrist that will come against Jerusalem, against Israel, at the very end before Jesus comes. And then in verse 36, it speaks of the end times, the appointed time. So this is the king of the fourth kingdom before God sets up his eternal kingdom, the last kingdom to rule Daniel's people before God's judgment comes. So that puts us now into chapter 12. So we're going to just cover a few verses here in chapter 12, because we will be studying more on chapter 12 as we go forward. So I want to read here at that time in chapter 12. At that time in Daniel chapter 11 and 36 through 45 that we just completed is referring to the end time, the appointed time. And Michael the angel, who stands guard over the nation of Israel, arises. And that's why he was mentioned when Darius the Mede took control from Babylon, and why he helped in the heavenly conflict over Persia and Greece. And his job is to protect Israel, Michael's job. And there'll be a time of distress such as there's never occurred, since Israel was a nation. That's the time of the end that those verses is referring to. It will be the last for a time, times, and a half time. That'll be in the last half of the tribulation, 3.5 years. And those of Israel, in verse 11:35, whose names are in the book of life, in those verses, it's talking about these there will be rescued and the rest will perish. And so just as there were some with insight, look at 12:3, it says, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So that's referring to those with insight. It's during the days of Antiochus Epiphanes. There will also be some with insight during the end times. That's what it's saying here in chapter 12. Now let's look at verse 11 in chapter 12. It says, for the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up will be 1,290 days. And that, of course, is 3.5 years. Now, just as there was an abomination of desolation during the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, there will also be abomination of desolation at the end times, during the time of wrath upon the people left and the Antichrist. And there will be 1,290 days until the completion of these events, and then another 45 days for those who attain blessings. Now, this was the message of great conflict that Daniel saw and wanted to understand. But he understood that it meant a long time for his people to be in conflict, and it caused him great distress. And it will take a long time for Israel to be purged and refined so that they return to their God. So we need to, as we're studying this, to look at today, we need to keep our eyes on Israel. So the current times fall between Daniel 11:35 and 36, our time. So go back and read those verses again and look at that, because that is referring to current times that are taking place. So in that last verse, verse 13, it says, but as for you, go your way to the end. This is the angel speaking to Daniel. And then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. So here we see that the Michael, the angel that is guarding over Israel, is making understanding of what is taking place. And it's very distressing. It's very hard for Daniel. So, you know, if it's hard for him, that it's hard for us. But we're going to study more as we go further into chapter 12. We'll go back through some of 11, and then we'll get into chapter 12. So we'll close today with this, and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Daniel, your prophet, that you gave him the word and you had him pin it down. We thank you for Michael, your angel, that watches over Israel, still watching over Israel. And Father, there's a lot here to comprehend and to take in. So we look to you through the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom and knowledge and help us to see it as we go forward in your word, that we may understand that you have a great plan for the future, for the end times, and that's what you're showing Daniel. So we want to be patient, and we ask you, Father, to teach us as we study. And we just give you the praise and honor for it all. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.